the grilling guys.
Welcome back. It's the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Not doing a lot of grilling today. We got Merle in the studio from Allen Bob Sports here in Southwest Grand Rapids. But we're talking about food plots at the end, and want to shift gears. When you're in that sling on the tree, if you're just tuning in, where that's a device that we're climbing into in the tree to hunt out of. But are there tools? Are there gadgets? You can come and buy the sling, but I think there's got to be some other things. We talked a little bit about tree steps, but what else is there?
Yeah, there's so you have saddlebags, for instance. You're carrying gear out, so you know you have to have something to carry it in. So you have to have something to have your gear
reach into
the tree as well. So you have to have a backpack. You really need a backpack. You need
something to hang your bow. And stuff like that.
Exactly. You have to have a bow hanger. One of the things is there's an accessory belt that is sold. It's very popular. There's also a waist belt, or they call it a recliner, that hooks into your tree tether. That's like a back belt. Looks like a back brace that goes around your back, and it allows you to recline back in your saddle. So, you know, if you can set up, you can adjust your tree tethers so you're either up against the tree or you're leaning back, depending on your angle of how your bridge is hooked into your saddle. So there's a number of adjustments. But anyway, so there, you know, you have your waist belt, you have the accessory belts that you would hang just about anything around the tree, whether it be your deer call, your backpack, whatever you want to hang in the tree that you take hunting with you, if it's your lunch bucket, whatever you want to hang from this accessory belt, it's got a number of hooks around it that you hook around the tree.
So Merle, I think I just had an epiphany. When you're in the tree in this saddle, you're not facing away from the tree. You're facing the tree.
You're facing
the tree. That's a difference. Okay,
yeah, your thighs are grabbing the tree like a horse.
Right, and that's why I get it now, because you're facing the tree, and gravity's going to pull you into that tree because the tether's on the tree, rather than if it were behind your head and you're looking out. You're looking around the tree then, left and right.
And that's why those steps are so nice, because you can push back and out a little bit and get to one side or the other of that tree.
Right, for your
shot. I shoot right-handed, so I'm going to want to try and, you know, constantly go to the right side of the tree to clear it. But
yeah, for the most part, most of the deer that I've ever shot out of a tree saddle have been almost directly behind me. You wouldn't think that would be an easy shot, but
so
it is one
around
of
the tree and turn around and came back at it.
No. You actually just turn around, and you're facing the tree. All you got to do is swivel 45 degrees in left or right for left or right hand shooter, and you're shooting right behind you.
Wow!
It doesn't seem like that until
you get
up in
the tree.
So
it's a little easier to do that shot than out of a stand, because
that's the easiest shot.
When you're doing that out of a tree stand, you're leaning over to get around the tree, and it's awkward. I had one poor doe. I shot at her, I think, six times before I took her.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to peek around the tree.
I think she was lucky five times.
Right. So that's the beauty of a saddle. You can shoot directly behind you. If you were trying to shoot directly behind you in a tree stand, you would be at the tree and you would be trying to shoot around the tree, like you said. But with a saddle, all you got to do is put pressure on, you know, your right foot to shoot on the left-hand side of the tree, and you're shooting on the opposite side of the tree, which is right in front of you.
So how many game cameras do you have on your hunting property?
I have three right now.
Mm-hmm. And those shoot the pictures back to your phone?
They do, yeah.
Tell us how that works.
Yeah, so they work on a cell plan. So it's basically like your normal game camera. It connects to AT&T or Verizon or whatever plan you want to get. And the cameras have their own plan. That's where a lot of people are confused. They think they have to put them on the plan with their phone, and it has nothing to do with your phone. If you have a Verizon service on your phone, you can get an AT&T camera. It worked just fine. They all have their own app and their own phone.
So
basically,
when you buy the camera, it's already programmed for a cell program.
Right. Exactly. And now a lot of them are doing, as things evolve, like everything does, you could get AT&T or Verizon. Then they came out with cameras that have AT&T and Verizon. You choose which one you want. Now, some of the cameras will look to each tower. They can do both at the same time.
Okay, to make sure you got signal wherever you put them in a tree.
Correct, because you don't have signal for everything. You know, right. Everywhere. So Verizon will be better some places than others, as will AT&T. So
if you've got these three, and do they talk to each other as well?
There is some cameras that do that. You put them in a chain. They have a main station camera. The satellite cameras will take the picture, send it to the main station camera, and that's the one that's
got the signal. Because that's a big deal. There's a lot of spots I can't put my camera because there's no signal.
Yeah, yeah. So, and you can also get extended antennas for a lot of these cameras that you can actually put up in the tree.
What a great idea. So this Command Pro I bought from you, you still sell that?
Yes, we do.
I love it.
Yeah.
That thing is so cool. I got all kinds of pictures on it.
Yeah, I've been getting a lot of bears this year too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been pretty good year for bear.
Well, I told you I was panicking because I thought I lost mine. And my wife was taking a trip the other weekend. You can't believe it, Randy, but she was going on a trip and she's cleaning out. She pulls out from under her seat and she says, "What's this?" And it was such a relief because it's a really nice camera.
Yeah.
And I plan on buying another one or two anyway, but you don't want to lose a $200 camera.
No. And this is the time. So when should I put my cameras out? Let's pivot on that a minute.
You know, there's no specific time where you have to do this, but you should have them out by now. So July sometime, August. You don't want to be going in and out of the woods too much after August, I wouldn't say. You know, you're just working on ruining your deer hunting, right? So it's best to put these cameras out as early as you can get them, and because the batteries last 6 months on these things a lot of times now. So you don't ever have to go back to your camera again.
My batteries That's were a nice from thing. Last year, and I tested them all, and they're still good.
So the beauty of that is, as well, is that it's sending you the pictures. So you go in, you set them where you think you want them, clear out a little brush to make sure you're getting a good image, right?
Right.
And then you just set it and forget it. And every day, every hour, whenever the thing trips a picture, right, it does it batch them and send them to you, or are you constantly getting pinged?
You can actually have it either way.
Okay.
Yeah, you can have them do it so it sends them one at a time, or you can have them send all in a batch at one time during the day.
Like all when you're on your break at work instead of at your desk.
Right, correct. Yeah, you know, my cameras send me a lot of pictures, and I had to turn off notifications because it's just constantly something that's coming at
and
you all the
look.
Time. You know, you have to look. If you're getting that notification, it's hard not to look, right?
So, right.
Yeah, you can set it up your own way because they all have their own app now. And, you know, like everything else, everything's got an app, right? So, you know, you can set it up to pretty much any way you want to set it up.
I just think it's a great addition to hunting, especially like I hunt a lot by myself. So I can't scout a lot necessarily or have anybody feeding me intel on where the movement is.
Yeah.
So it's just like, oh, you know, there's one by that camera over there. And it's the same big doe or big buck or little doe.
I was late season hunting last year, doe hunting with a rifle, and I hadn't shot anything yet this last year, and so I was doe hunting, and I got a picture of the doe like 2 minutes before I shot her.
Really?
You know, so that's another thing.
Coming at you.
I knew it was coming, you know, because, you know, everybody has a cell phone and they're blind now, you know.
Yeah.
And you use them for a lot of different things, whether it be weather or whatever.
Yeah. So, Merle, what is a good camera setup cost somebody if they don't have one yet and they wanted to get one?
The cell cameras are just amazing, you know, how much they've come down. So you're talking about a price range of $110 to $150 for a cell camera.
No, it's nice.
Not anymore.
That's great.
And the cell plans are ridiculously cheap.
I pay $5 a month.
Yeah, right. $5 a month.
Gladly.
Coming up next, we're going to talk about, do you still use a recurve, a regular compound bow, or are you one of those that uses a crossbow? Stick with us. We'll be back.